Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for your presence with us day by day. We thank you, Lord, for your care to us. Father, I just pray that today as we look at your word, as we begin to look forward into this new year, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And we pray, oh God, that today your word will just begin to speak to us. Father, I pray it will challenge us. And it will stir us up and push us on into greater things in you. We ask this in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. I've got two Bibles today. Hallelujah. I nearly brought a third one as well, but it won't fit. We're going to have to get a bigger rostrum. We're going to get a table up here, see, so I can. But praise the Lord. Really want to recommend those of you that don't have a Bible, you need one. Seriously, you need one. It's life. You see mine, you can see this. Coloured, there's highlights, there's scribbles in it and what have you. And this is when God has just said something to me, and it's just like the spotlight of God comes on something. I know historically they would say to you, oh, you can't be writing in your Bible and defacing it, it's God's word. No, it's my Bible, it's my personal relationship with Jesus. And when he speaks to me, I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord, and I make little notes at the side of it. It's great. And you know, we sell Bibles and we've got a pile of Bibles over there, and they're under the price of what shops sell them, because we wholesale Bibles. And there's some great study Bibles on that table over there. Spirit-filled life Bibles, and it's been a good Bible over the years, that one. And we pick some up, and a few different other ones. So have a look. Get a Bible. Well, get more than one Bible eventually, because you find that there are different translations. For instance, today, I always use, most of the time I speak and use, I've used this for years, the New American Standard. It's been classed for many years as one of the most accurate translations. But also today, I'm using the Living Bible. Amen. Yes, it's been around a while, you know, but the Living Bible, because it brought something out. Simpler explanation. I nearly brought the Amplified with me. Yeah. Now you see, the Amplified, that's a lady's Bible, because it goes on longer and longer and longer. Okay. Nothing. I missed. Did anybody throw anything? You missed me. That's all right. Yeah, you're going to get me later. Yeah. Nah, you know I'm only joking, but yeah. Yeah. Want me a bit higher, do you? Is that better? Good. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1. See, the New American Standard says, cry aloud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet. Amen?
Yeah.
The Living Bible says, shout with the voice of a trumpet blast, tell my people of their sins. Isaiah is being commissioned by God to tell the people of Israel that they need to repent from their sinful ways. And so God is saying to Isaiah, don't hold back.
Amen.
Don't stand there and say, excuse me, but I'd like to. God has just spoken to me, and I think I'd like to tell you what, you know. He's annoyed with you. He's not happy. You know, he's been told, stand in my authority.
Amen.
declare it, make it like a trumpet sound, calling the people together and speaking to them. And it goes on to say, yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and are so delighted to hear the readings of my law, just as though they would obey them, just as though they don't despise the commandments of God. How anxious they are to worship correctly. Oh, how they love the temple services. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? Why don't you see our sacrifices? Why don't you hear our prayers? We have done much penance and you don't even notice it. Why? I tell you why. Because you are living in evil pleasures, even while you are fasting, and you are keeping right on oppressing your workers. God is challenging the people of God. They're coming to church, they're coming to the temple, but they're not really coming for the right reasons. They're not coming with the right motivations. And so God is challenging them. He's challenging the leaderships. He's challenging the high priesthood. And he's, you know, God is not wanting just to have people's ears tickled. That does nothing. You see, Timothy was told by Paul, he was told to teach. He was told to correct, wasn't he? The word says that it's there to teach us, to correct us, to rebuke us even. But we don't want rebuking. Oh no, we don't want a pastor that rebukes us. We want somebody who will just stroke our fur the right way. You know? We just want somebody who will just, you know, oh, there. You know, you did wrong, but there. It's all right. No, it's not all right. It's about making changes. It's about being the people, the anointed people, the anointed sons and daughters of the living God, that God wants to flow through you and through me as pure vessels, that the power of God wants to move through us. But we have to prepare ourselves. We have to put ourselves in that place where God can minister to us, where we can be under the anointing of the Word of God and we can be changed. Amen. I'm reminded, just as I'm speaking even now, of the potter's wheel. Yeah. You know, there you are, you're on the potter's wheel. And as that clay is being spun on that wheel, suddenly the potter's hands feel something in it. There's something there that will bring a problem. There's something there that will cause that vessel to shatter. Yeah. Now, Steve knows all about this because Steve has a little firing furnace. It's a big one, is it? I don't know. I haven't seen it, actually. But he's got a firing furnace for doing pottery. And the thing is, you see, if you leave foreign bodies, particles in there that are not really of the same makeup as the clay, if it's a mixture, 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in God, it's a mixture. It never works. You know, they just don't stick together. You know, you're trying to walk one side of the fence, you know, it's not going to work. And so when the potter on that wheel, when he finds that, oh, there's something in there, he stops the wheel. And he begins to look at the clay. He examines it until he finds that imperfection. Yeah. And he takes out that imperfection. And he has to begin to reshape and rework on that clay. And so often we say, oh God, please, no, oh Lord, not me. I'm fine, God. God says, no, there's this in your life that I, your God, need to deal with. But Lord, I thought I'm perfect in Jesus. We're on the road. We're on that road of perfection. We're on a journey to bring us to that place of perfection. When God looks at you, He looks through the blood of Jesus and He sees the end result of the blood of Christ, of perfection. Hallelujah. David's been on this road longer than anybody else. Hallelujah. He's still not perfect yet. But we continue on. We continue holding on to the Word of God. We continue letting that Word of God change us, mold us, shape us. So often, you know, and I've been guilty of it, we prayed, Lord, sort out so and so. They're a real irritation to me, Lord. Sort them out. And God said to me, I remember praying that prayer once. And God said to me, I'm using them to knock your rough edges off. I said, thank you very much, Lord. I really appreciated that. I said, you've just got it all wrong. But He did. He was using them to knock my rough edges off. And you know, when you use sandpaper, creates heat, doesn't it? You know, you start rubbing on something. And you rub something down and you have different grades. And when you get to the real fine grade, that's when it's really beginning to get polished and shiny and really ready to for the final coat of varnish to be added to it, and it looks absolutely perfect and lovely and beautiful. But there's been a process. There's been a journey. And for each and every one of us, there is a journey that God wants us on. And the journey is through this book together. It's great. We're going to be doing the Bible school again shortly. We're still to do the certificates. But we shall continue on. And the next part of our series is going to be on the gifts of the Spirit, on the Holy Spirit. Because I believe God wants a church that is moving in signs, wonders, and miracles. And a church to move in that realm has to be a church who is hearing what the Holy Spirit is hearing in heaven and speaking into your lives and our lives and to the lives of others. And that is so important. It may not just happen overnight, but it is a process that we begin that process of listening to the Spirit, listening to the Word of God and allowing God to speak. Can God do that? Can God speak to me? Well, I remember one day God spoke to every one of you at least once. You remember, don't you? What day am I talking about?
Was that Wednesday?
No, it was a long time before then. Come on, Mick. When was it? When was the day you heard God speak to you for the very first time?
Yeah,
no. No, not in here.
Oh, gosh, years ago.
When you got saved. When the voice of God, through the minister, through the person that was witnessing to you, told you about Jesus, and you heard the voice of God calling your name. Hallelujah. You've heard God speak. So don't say you can't hear Him, because you heard God speak. You heard the Spirit of God calling your name. He knows my name. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? He knows yours. He knows your name, Louise. Isn't that wonderful? Called your name. And you see, then we responded. We gave our life to Christ. And we move forward, step by step, didn't we, Shirley? And we're still walking forward, step by step. You know, it's not about racing ahead and taking great leaps of faith. It's a walk. It's a daily walk with Him. And so we're to move forward with Him. In Isaiah 58 and verse 1, the Message says this. Now, I'm not a big Message fan. My wife loves it, you know. I know you are. But anyway. But this bit is quite good. It says, for that same verse, shout!
Yeah.
A full-throated shout!
Woo.
Pardon? He says, shout! A full-throated shout! Don't hold back. You see, in Isaiah's day, they didn't have a microphone and a PA system. They didn't have internet, thank God. They didn't have mobile phones. But he went there and he began to declare.
Yeah.
He's only a young man. He's declaring God. He's declaring God's judgment in one sense over the people. It goes on to say, it says, hold nothing back.
Amen.
A trumpet blast, shout, is what you've got to give. That's what the Message says. Tell my people what's wrong with their lives.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's when you get real popular with people. I've had it already, you know, I mean, many times. Pastor's been talking about me on a Sunday. I ain't. The Holy Spirit's been talking about you on a Sunday. Pastor don't know anything about you, probably.
No.
But God does.
Amen.
I remember Mick, a few months back, being away on holiday, went to a church, they didn't know him, I don't think, did they? And then suddenly, God, the Holy Spirit went, Mick, put his finger on him, right? Hey, God can do it. I remember when God was calling me out of the church that we were in Bentley. I knew God was calling me, and I went away on holiday, Grace and I, and went to this friend's church, and they were having a conference that weekend, visiting preachers. I forgot his name. The guy that did the evangelistic work down in Cornwall. For many years, he was a Cornish guy. And he started preaching. Oh man, I wanted to leave the church and get out quick. Oh, and the Sunday before that, we'd stopped at another friend's church in Croydon. Remember John Edwards? Well, he wasn't there, but his brother was speaking that day. We'd never met before. And I'm sat there, we're about two or three rows back. It's just where you don't want to be sat, isn't it, you know. And he's preaching away, and I'm sat there, and I'm wriggling. I'm thinking, oh, God. And he's telling me I've got to leave. I've got to leave. I went and spoke to him after service, and told him what was going on, and he just turned around and said to me, there's only one thing you can do. Leave. That's not what I wanted to hear. I'm being honest with you now. It's not what I wanted to hear. And so then we went on and to our other friends for the next week, and they were having meetings. And God nailed me again. I mean, I was stood, they had the old Methodist wooden pews, you know. I was stood there behind a pew, and I was gripping it like nobody else could grip it. You know, I was about to tear the timber off. They're making an appeal. I'm like, God, I am not leaving. There's so much talent in that church. There's so many. We had a youth work of 40-odd young people that Grace and I were looking after. And I'm saying, no, God. Things can really happen. Things can move forward. David was there at the time. And God said, no, you're to leave. Well, that was on the Saturday evening. Come Sunday morning, when they're having service for Sunday morning, I said, Grace says, we're getting ready for church. I said, I'm not going. I went into rebellion mode. I went for a walk. I went for a long walk. God and me. And I told him exactly what it was all about. And he had to go at me, and I had to go at him, and I carried on. By the time I'd finished, I wouldn't leave him, no. I tell you, I can be awkward. I can be stubborn. Oh, I can be stubborn. So I was really stubborn. And I said, no, God, it's not happening. God said, okay. I carried on walking, and God stood there and let me walk on. For 12 months, I never heard God's voice again. Till one day, sometime in September, because it was September, the year before we were away, we arrived in church, and his son-in-law's Bible was laid on a seat, and the church was absolutely packed every Sunday morning. Couldn't get a seat half the time, and his son-in-law's Bible was packed on a chair with the daily notes. And the title on the daily notes said, "It is now time for me to depart." Well, I tell you what. I mean, it was in bold print, so you can't miss it. You know, I went, whoa, and I slammed the Bible too. And I moved it onto another chair. I thought, he can go and sit somewhere else. That morning with a visiting preacher, he started preaching on Peter getting out of the boat. I'm thinking, oh, here we go. I've got to admit, the last 12 months have been hell on earth when God's not talking to me. And then God started talking to me. And I started listening. And in the end I said, okay, God, you better tell Grace. So I waited a few minutes, and then I leaned over. I said, Grace, we're leaving. And she says, I know. Okay. So I said, when this guy's finished preaching, I said, when he makes an appeal, I said, we're going out as a commitment to God to say, yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. Amen. And that morning when he made that appeal, which was, say, Sunday morning, it's not the usual thing, but it happened. We went straight out. One of the elders came up. I told him, I said, oh, and by the way, God gave me the date as well when we were leaving. 6 weeks' time. Okay, fine. And so when the elder came out to pray for us, I said, we're leaving. What was it, 30th of October? Or was it October, was it? Something like that, October. So we're leaving at the end of October. We'll talk about it. I said, no, God's already spoken to me. I said, there's nothing to talk about. I've got to go. And we left. But that's not knowing where we were going. We had no place. We were a little bit like Abraham. And off we went. And one thing I determined that I was not going to do, I was not going to split the church that I'd spent 20 years building. Because I had people saying to me, if you're going to start another church, let us know, we'll come and join you. And there were people genuinely saying that. And so we went and disappeared into another church for 18 months. Just evaporated. And then God again came and said, now it's time. Now it's time. And harvest fields began. And over the years we've seen so many lives being touched, being healed, being delivered, being set free. And we've been declaring the message of the gospel. We've been declaring that Jesus can, will, and does. We've been blowing the trumpet.
Amen.
Sometimes I've blown the trumpet and some people don't like it and they've walked out. That's fine, that's okay. Sometimes our praise and worship, they've said they can't handle it. there is just something that's happening in it and they've got to leave because it's disturbing them. And I mean, I know what they were saying, there was something that was stirring within them that God wanted to get hold of and deal with. Because in all that I ever want and ever desire is I want to see Jesus glorified. That's all I want. I want to see His kingdom come. His will be done. The Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? In earth. This is earth. It's not going to be done just in the fields around us. You are the earth where the kingdom of God should dwell. Where the kingdom of God should manifest itself to the lives of others around. And people look at you and say, what is it that's different about you? I can see something. I can sense something. Because it's my presence of the Lord Jesus, He says, that shall go with you. The presence of the Lord, we carry it. We carry in earthen vessels that precious anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's there for us to pour out onto the lives of others.
Amen.
To see God's kingdom come. To see His will done. And I want to see that in your lives. I want to see you reaching and touching lives, changing lives in people. Because out there are thousands of people who have problems. They need Jesus. Hold nothing back. A trumpet blast shout. Tell my people what's wrong with their lives. Face my family, Jacob, with their sins. They were busy, busy, busy at worship and love studying all about me. And to all appearances, they are a nation of right living people, law abiding, God honoring. That's what the message says. Having an appearance of godliness, but to be honest, denying the power. You see, God is a powerful God. God did not save you, and I know I say this often, God did not save you to come and sit in these lovely, comfortable blue seats. We got these blue seats to make you comfortable so that you can listen to the word and you can get yourself ready to move in God. It's about you being made ready. And as we prepare ourselves to move forward in God, God will move in our lives. He will change us. God wants to form you. I know I put on Messenger this Isaiah 55, and it's particularly verses 11 and 12, and I said, just read those two or three times. And this is where all of this is coming from. Now, verse 10 says this in Isaiah 58, and again from the Living Bible. Feed the hungry. Help those in trouble. Do you know that's what we've been doing for many years? We put people into drug rehab situations, alcohol rehab, anything. We've put people. We've had drug addicts stay at the house at different times. We've fed people. You know, we've opened our house. We've opened the church. And this is what we need to continue to do. Feed the hungry. Help those in trouble. You know, our missions work in Cuba. We've been feeding people in Cuba. Feeding people in Romania. Africa. Where there is a need. And we know that we can put the money there. And we know the money will do its full whack, you know. When we send £100, that £100 stays there. It, you know, we don't take anything off it. £100 goes, and £100 goes to that family. And that family get the benefit of it all. I won't just give to any charity. Because there are too many people taking their cream off the top of it until in the end there's 10 pence left at the end of it and they send that out. 10 pence off a pound. No. We send everything. Well, actually, we don't send a pound. If you give us £100, we don't send £100. We actually send £125. Because we know that the government will give us some money because of folks tithing and etc. So we just say, okay, we know the government's going to be next year, but that's all right. So we send more. So we do what the word says, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. And we believe God will bless us, and He has done. And I thank God for that. Feed the hungry, help those in trouble. It says, then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you shall be as bright as day. Verse 11, Living Bible, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy you with all good things and keep you healthy too. Hallelujah, praise God. He will keep us healthy. Amen. We're living in times when there's so much going on. There's so many diseases going around. And the word says, He will keep you healthy. You know, being in this word, it's like medicine. This is not just black type on a white page. In some Bibles, they get the words of Jesus are in red. So it's not just black and red and white and that's it. This is a living word. And this is why we encourage you, when you read the word, read it out aloud, because we are speaking out to the principalities and powers, and we are declaring the word of God of faith before the throne room of God. And that word goes into action. That word begins to operate, and we give that word life when we speak it out. You know, when people came to Jesus, it says, and Jesus spoke the word. Remember the centurion? He said to Jesus, just say the word. Just say the word. He says, I'm a man under authority. I recognize that. I know that who you are. You are under the authority of God Almighty, the creator of the universe. All you need to do is say the word. And it will be done. Church, we need to get back to that point in our lives where we're believing that we are men and women under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that when we speak the word, we speak life, we speak healing, we speak deliverance, and we see captives being set free. There are people here today who can testify of the power of God, the healing power of God, the delivering power of God, the work of God through the word of God setting them free. Praise God. It's the word that is important. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy you with good things. I sometimes say, I'm not satisfied yet, Lord. You know, I need more. I want more. I am hungering and thirsting for more of the things of God. I'm not satisfied yet, Lord. I'm still hungry for more. It's not that I'm dissatisfied in any way. It's just like, give me more, Lord. Yeah, I'll have a double portion.
Amen.
You know, I'll expand. I'll get some trousers with elastic in them, and I'll have a double portion. You know, glory to God. When I was a teenager, he used to say to me, "Where do you put it all?" I said, all our legs. He used to eat from one end of the table to the other, me and somebody else, and just look at us and say, what are you doing? I've only been to the table once. We've never left. And we need to be a little bit like that with God. Lord, I've come to the table. I ain't leaving. till I'm full and busting, till I've got something to give out.
Yes. Amen.
You know, got to hang on to God. Like Abraham,
yes,
hung on to God when he wrestled with God. Oh, it was Jacob, weren't it? Jacob, when he wrestled with God. God touched him. Left a mark on him. We need to be people where God has touched us and left a mark on us. And people recognize that there is something in you that has not come off this earth, but has come from above. The touch of Almighty God. Young people, this is what you need. This is what will give you a momentum to live life to its fullest. This is what will cause you to realize that God can keep you in any situation and any circumstance. Yeah, but I need this and I need that. No, you need God first. It has to be God first in your life and nothing else. You, young man, girlfriend, God needs to come before her. Because if you haven't got a good relationship with God, she's in for a difficult time. Oh, and by the way, if you haven't got a good relationship with God, he's in for a difficult time with you. I'm sorry, you know. But seriously, I mean that. Because I know from my own personal experience. I know people who've married somebody and said, you know, well, I'll lead them to Christ. No, you won't. I'll tell you that. I'll help them, you know, they'll come along, they'll catch it. No, they won't. Because if it's not in them. The word teaches, do not be unequally yoked. One pulling one way and the other pulling the other way. Never works. Never works. It has to be that there is such a love for Jesus, such a love for God, that I tell you what, there'll never be arguments in your marriage. Never. Yeah, I stand here today, coming this year, Grace and I will have been married for 50 years. She took me from the cradle, by the way. I was very young when we got married. Just Yeah. That's what they always say, isn't it? You'll get less for murder. But you know something? I think I can say this. In 50 years, we've never had an argument. We might have disagreed on something, but we've not gone to bed with a bad attitude and had an argument over something that has left us with a strained relationship. It has never happened. Is it worth it? It's not worth it. You see, while you're having this argument and you're keeping each other at a distance, you're missing all that enjoyment of each other kissing and making up and loving one another. And when folks say to me, "Oh, yeah, I'm not," I say, "I get a double blessing." You know, you argue, we don't argue, we keep making up every day. Hallelujah! Double blessings. What keeps the marriage going? What keeps that relationship? Christ in the very center of it holds everything together. Every decision that, you know, we've made in our lives, it's been a case of, you know, God will speak to me and I'll say to God, well, you need to speak to Grace. You know, we're joined together. When we got married, We became one.
Amen.
We became one. Parents did not interfere. Bear that in mind for the future. Leave them alone.
Yeah.
On your way, you decided, you made your bed, you lie in it, get it sorted. My father took me on one side before I got married. As I started to told him I was going to propose to Grace, he said to me, "You're making a wrong decision. She'll never be able to look after you. She can't cook. She can't do this." And I listened to my father. He took me into the best room. That's the only time, by the way, he's ever taken me and given me any advice. And I sat there and graciously listened, thanked him for his advice, and then went and proposed to Grace. And here we are, 50 years later. Glory to God. I'm loving it still.
Amen.
Loving it still. But you see, we've worked, but we've put Jesus in the centre.
Yeah.
You know, the decisions, leaving work and finance and everything, we've had to put it into God's hands.
Amen.
But we've stood together. We've stood on the promises of God.
Amen.
You know, God, you said,
yeah,
we're standing on your promises. Lord, we will declare. I made a promise when I got saved. I said, "Lord," I saw people being healed all over the place. Staying Cross, that was the first church where we went to. Mick knows Staying Cross, don't you? Quite well. Went there was a crusade, healing crusade. People were getting healed all over the place. My dad got healed there. I got saved there. And that day I got saved, I said to Jesus, I said, "From this day forward, I want to be somebody who will continue and always believe in signs, wonders and miracles. I want to live my life with signs, wonders and miracles." Oh yeah, you know, the early stages of my Christian walk went up and down, bounced a little bit till I got a proper start. But I tell you what, it has been so exciting for me and Grace. It's been an amazing journey. And we saw blind eyes, well, I saw blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, and God just moving. And I just said, "That's it. I want to declare who Jesus is.
Amen.
I want to declare that power of the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ." And so, verse 11 in the Living Bible says, "And the Lord will guide you continually." Each and every one of us needs the Lord guiding us continually. He says He will satisfy you all with good things. Who likes good things? Hallelujah. You've come to the right place. You've come to Jesus. He will satisfy you with good things. And keep you healthy too. Praise God. I'm still healthy. I'm still rejoicing. I'm still praising God. I met a guy the other day when we were out walking. And when I told him how old I was, he went, "Whoa, yeah, how old are you?" I said, "Yeah, feel great." Still riding a motorcycle. Great big, 350 kilo motorcycle, third of a ton, third of a ton motorbikes. Jesus, just the same. We ride together. And we enjoy it. Grace comes on the back. Glory to God. The rockers. I'll not tell you about what we do, what else with speed limits or anything like that. We'll just ignore that. Keep brush over that. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say, "And you will be like a well-watered garden."
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. You know, a well-watered... Now, you've got an allotment, haven't you? Yeah. What was that? Of sorts. Yes, I know it is, yeah. Yeah, there's been a bit of a problem lately, haven't there? It's a little bit extra watered now, you know, and it's sticks to your boots, and when we take the dog out for a walk, we have to put him in the bath because he comes back filthy. But if a garden's not watered, then what you plant doesn't grow up and it doesn't produce a good harvest, does it? And we need the water at the right time. We need the sunshine at the right time. Let me tell you, God's promises are to water us at the right time, to bring His heat, His love and His sunshine into our lives at the right time. And you'll be like a well-watered garden. In other words, you're going to be fruitful.
Yeah.
You see, God has not saved you to be barren in your Christian life. He saved you to be fruitful.
Yeah.
Because, and first principles. Always go back to first principles. Right? Adam and Eve. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. David, God has not changed that statement in the last 6,000-7,000 years.
No.
It's still the same. To the church today, be fruitful and multiply. It's not what the devil's going to do or say. God is in charge.
That's right.
The trouble is the church don't believe it most of the time. They're that busy hiding out or just having a... We'll have a nice, happy, clappy time. We don't really want to hear the preacher. Not very long anyway. 15 minutes is long enough. After that, he gets boring, doesn't he? You know. So, we have to have a calendar here. Turn him over. We have a daily calendar. Turn him over when he's preaching. But you see, God wants you... The most important thing is not praise and worship. It's this. It's the Word.
Yeah.
Praise and worship is a little bit like starters on a meal. It's great. Or maybe... The sweet at the end, you know, that little bit of... yeah. But you can't live on cream cakes and cherries all your life, David. Because, you see, it doesn't give strength to your body, does it? You know, you need something else other than cream cakes or starters. You need... Vanilla slices, yeah, we know, but you need the meat of the Word. In other words, we need to get into this book, and we need to find out what God is really saying to us, and how much God wants to equip us, how much God has done for us, and how much God is preparing you for works of service. Works of service. He's preparing you for works of service. We're going to enjoy just being part of it and being overseeing with you and getting his hands dirty with you at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the first time I prayed for somebody and they got healed. Oh, I walked about the same height off the floor as I'm on this platform. I felt like I was like 9 inches off the ground. I went home and I was like, oh, this is fantastic. You know, God was at work. He'd used me. Oh, I tell you, bring the next one on. You know, bring me another. You know, I'm like, Some folks say, well, what happens if they don't get healed? That's God's problem, not mine. Because I don't have any power. Do I? I'm just the part of the wire. You know, plug me in, Lord. Plug me in. Okay, here we go. When we pray for people, I think there has been a sense of such power, hasn't there? The real, precious, powerful anointing. It's like, wow, you can feel it. God's doing something. We've plugged into heaven.
Amen.
That's what the individual needs to be plugging into God. Plugging into heaven.
Yeah.
I didn't give you the title of the message, did I?
No,
I didn't, sorry. The title is, we are called to be God pleasers, a royal priesthood, and a holy spiritual nation to God. That's what we're called to be. A spiritual nation to God. Verse 12 of the Living Bible says, your sons will rebuild the long deserted ruins of your cities. And you will be known as the people who rebuild their walls and cities.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I'm going to read that one again because I suppose I should finish with that. Your sons, I'm going to say this, your sons and daughters. You know, sons is just, it's not a male thing. It's just the way it's said. You know, everybody. Your sons and your daughters will rebuild the long deserted ruins of your cities. And you, look at somebody and say, and you will be known as the people who rebuild their walls and cities.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
You're called to be builders.
Yeah.
Rebuilders.
Yeah.
Out there, around this area of Doncaster, there are broken lives.
Yeah.
There are broken families. There's a broken city.
Yeah.
There is a broken county.
Yeah.
There is a broken nation.
Yeah.
And God is calling and equipping,
yeah,
the true church for works of service to begin to rebuild the broken lives. You know, I look at Daniel.
Yeah.
A broken life when we met him 12 years ago. No future. Today, he has a family. He's married. Great future.
Yeah.
Why? He was introduced to Jesus.
Yeah.
And he was cared for and loved. Stephen, who's running a church in Oxford, same thing, broken life. Led him to Christ. Totally destroyed. Now, married, child, running a church, in love with Jesus. Praise his wonderful name. These are just a few. God is transforming lives. But he's looking for those people who will be the rebuilders of the walls and the cities which have been broken down, of the lives that have been crushed, of the lives that have been destroyed by this world system.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, like, he said, at one time, the police had him around the back of the building here. Changed. God is able.
Amen.
All you've got to do is start partnershiping with him. Get into that level of faith and say, come on, I'm believing for this, God.
Amen.
I'm pressing through for this. We needed a change. I once had a guy working for me. He was causing frictions within the workforce. And you know, nobody tells you. But then you fear it. You know, when you say you can cut the air with a knife, you knew there was something wrong. Nobody would tell you. So I went to God, Grace and I, and I said, God, either change him or move him. That was in the July. Middle of September, he said to me, I just thought I'd let you know I'm finishing at the end of the month. I grabbed hold of my desk. I thought I'd better not jump up and down and start praising God till he's gone. And I sat there holding onto this desk. And then he went out and he heard his car start up and leave. And as I saw his lights disappear, I let go of the desk and I'm like, praise God, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord. change the atmosphere in the company. I know some of you are looking at me saying, are you nuts or what? Yeah, I am. Because when I can't fix it, I know I have a fixer. Hallelujah. And there's a lot of things I can't fix, so I have to go to the fixer. Hallelujah. And He fixes things. God fixes things. Well, that's right. He's fixing us all the time. God has to work on me and you all the time. We're work in progress. We're on that potter's wheel. He's forming us and shaping us because He wants to use you. From the youngest through to the oldest, God wants to use you. There are thousands and thousands of people out there that need Jesus. And Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Yeah. Come on, church, come on. Have you got an abundance?
Yeah.
Praise God. The promises are from God for double portions for the abundance of God in our lives. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So we've not just got life and we're just getting by. And it's, you know, one day we'll get to heaven, everything will be right. No, it's going to be right now while we're down here. God wants to, you know, Jesus came to bring heaven on earth. Not for you and I just to disappear and leave this lot in a shambles, because the earth belongs to the Lord and everything that is in it belongs to God. It came from God. He's not handing it over to the devil. I don't care what anybody says. If it was mine, I wouldn't hand it over to the devil. No way. The word says it belongs to the Lord and everything that is in it. 1 Peter, the first book of Peter, chapter 2 and verse 1 says this, that you and I are called to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation. What does that mean? We're called to be sanctified.
Yeah.
Sanctified, what does that mean? It means that we are called. We are to be set apart.
Yeah.
Each and every one of us, when we came to Christ, He's calling us to be set apart for a special purpose. God has a purpose for each and every one of you.
Yeah.
And you are set apart for that purpose. You are being set apart. God wants to make you holy. God is holy. And that's another word we don't use in church very often these days in the modern churches. Holiness unto God.
Yeah.
Sanctification.
Yeah.
Being set apart for God. For works of service. He's calling us into holiness for His almighty name. We are a vessel to be used in God's sanctuary. We're a vessel set aside for service for the kingdom of God. We're a vessel that the Holy Spirit can be poured into, and the Spirit of God can flow through you and out of you to change lives. What did Jesus say about sanctification? And with this I'll finish. Jesus prayed for His disciples, saying, in John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 17, sanctify them by the truth.
Amen.
Your word is truth. God wants you to read His book, to be sanctified, set apart by the truth of God's word, that you'll be instructed by God's word on what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. God wants to bless you. And that's not just an ad lib thing. I mean this in all sincerity. You know, beginning the year 2022. And I'm starting it off by saying, God has a plan for you.
Amen.
God has a purpose for you.
Amen.
God wants to equip you. You've got to decide, I'm jumping in this boat. I'm going to stay the course. And I'm going to go through, I'm going to jump on that potter's wheel. And I'm going to stay on that potter's wheel whether I feel like it or not. And yeah, God's going to get hold of some things in my life and God's going to say, that's going to have to go. Yeah, but Lord, I've had it for years and it's been okay. He said, no, it's not. For the next part of service, for the next part that you're going into, for the next move of God that God is moving you into and taking you into, God is saying, this needs to go. But I'll tell you what, when He takes something away, He brings back to you a double portion. He brings back to you something better. Grace, when I gave up my job, I thought, wow, you know, I was on £14,000 a year plus a company car. And that was in early 80s. I was on real good money. And I could work as much overtime as I wanted. And they'd pay me. Nobody ever questioned me. And you know, gave it all up. Had a mortgage. Somehow we paid it all off over the years. God never missed a beat. And my focus was not on the mortgage. My focus was on Him who pays the mortgage. That's where we need to be at. Let God be God. Let God do His work in your life. Surrender to Him. I know today maybe it's been a tough message in some ways. But we need to hear this. We need to hear from God. We need to let God know that we're going to do this. We need to be a people. Of 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 8 says, it says there, "For if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" We need to be of one sound, one voice. And that the power of God will flow through us. We need to be in that place where God is moving mightily. Yeah. And signs and wonders are moving through our lives. Yeah. And lives are being touched and changed. And people are coming to Christ. Lord, set this building on fire with Your Spirit. Lord, let it be a place that glows with Your presence and Your glory. And Lord, let it be a place that touches and changes lives and meets the needs of people. Because this system of this world cannot do it. Only God can do it. Let's just bow our heads a moment. I don't know if any of you feel a need to respond in any way to the word today. If you do, the front, the altar is open at the front of the church if you want to come and say, Lord, I just want to surrender everything again. Lord, I want to make that determined commitment that it's You, Lord, and nothing else. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. He knows what you need. He knows everything about your life. He knows what you need next week. He knows what you need in the middle of this year. He knows. Our focus should be on what we should be doing for Him. He will do the rest. And so if there's any feel that need to come out, then just come out and we'll together we'll pray. And just believe God to do a sealing of this work in our lives. That the Word of God would be sealed in us and that we would stand on the promises of God. That we would be the trumpet, that we would be the voice of the Lord declaring the ways of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You for Your word to us. We thank You, Lord, that Your word is true. Your word is faithful. And Father, Your promises to us are true. They are yea and amen. Father, I pray for each and every one of us that, Lord, today, that in some way your word will have touched our hearts. That, Lord, it will have entered in. Lord, that it would have revitalized, it would quicken. That, Lord, it would refresh us. That, Lord, it will energize us back into action for you. I just ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.